Good morning, Lake Burien. Today's passage for our conversation comes from the Gospel of Luke, and really it's several verses that begins at verse 39, but we are going to focus our attention in our conversation this morning, beginning with Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And this is following Mary's visit, the beginning of Mary's visit with Elizabeth. So hear the word of the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever."
Good morning, Lake B. It's good to be with everybody again. It's the three of us this time. You know what this means, right? After how many months of doing this, you know what this means. We're joining together to have a sermon conversation in the, what week is it, Lena, of Advent? This is the fourth Sunday. I'm behind on Advent and Christmas shopping. So it is so good to be with everyone today as we discuss and share regarding Luke 1, as was read earlier, what is referred to as Mary's Song of Praise or the Magnificat. Mm-hmm. And just a little story to this. We were supposed to record this the other day, and of course, schedules got busy and everything. But also, Lena, when you text about what was on your heart about this, I was like, let's not rush that. This is a word for folks to be able to hear. Mm-hmm. And so I invite you to not only join the chat, but to pause in the busyness of this season. Sit down and let's listen together. Right? Let's listen together. Let's put some distractions off, because this is a defining moment in the season. Luke 1 and Mary's Song of Praise, the Magnificat, is one of those defining moments of our faith. Mm-hmm. So where do we begin with this? Where do people really enter into this text? This idea that Mary is full of the Holy Spirit in a way different than Elizabeth is full of the Spirit, right? So the text before, Mary visits Elizabeth and the baby jumps in the womb, and blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But what follows is a very powerful confession from Mary. What is it that you all, Paul and Lena, pastors, you come to with this text? What is it that you bring to this text?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I want to also invite people to just, you know, this is a very human story in many ways, in that, you know, what is happening with Mary. And, you know, as I read through this a couple times this week in with different groups of people, what's been interesting to think about, and I'll just invite you all to this space, is if you're looking for a way in, is, you know, this relationship that Mary has to her baby. And someone actually in a group that I was in earlier just talked about, what is it that, you know, when you think about potentially the gifts that we receive from our parents, in this case, there's something that's happening with Mary and her child. Right? There's beautiful words that are spoken that become, you know, Mary's hymn, Mary's song that I'd like to say she sings over her child, right? And it took me back to my own, you know, for me, and this is just a way in, I'm offering a way into this conversation for us, is like, you know, what were the hymns that were spoken over me that were, and I would say in this case, you know, by my mother, like, or someone in an earlier call talked about a grandmother, because I, you know, I do think that there are things that we, who we are, have been shaped by others, the words spoken, the songs sung over us. So that's not necessarily the only focus of this, but I find that to be a very human connection to this scripture that we're talking about today.
Wow. So the vision, the picture that is being struck here is one of Mary speaking this to the to her own belly. Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. the capacity of us to understand this idea that the Savior, the story of the Savior's coming into the world is through the womb. And Paul, this experience, as Lena described, a very human experience versus how others' stories of power in the history of the Roman world talked about coming to power. This is totally antithetical to what they would have been enculturated to.
That's right. That's right. I mean, many times in Luke, the backdrop is power and dominance. And yet, like in... a couple of weeks ago, the word of God comes to John in the wilderness of all places.
Right.
And there's this constant element of surprise as to how God is going to end. As we're thinking about how do we enter this text, but how God enters the world, there's this constant surprise of what, how God will show up and disrupt our expectations of who God is and what God will do. And so that this child comes into Mary. And if you read earlier on in this chapter, even, I mean, the way they describe John the Baptist's mom and dad, Elizabeth and Zechariah, is that they were people of upright standing, blameless, so on and so forth. Not the, the same descriptor is not assigned to Mary and Joseph. And in fact, they weren't even married, right, as we know. And so this, there's this constant, there's constant unexpected ways that God is showing up and embodying himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think to those of you that are listening, I mean, here's a question, you know, what unexpected ways have you, has God shown up to you or to us? Mm. What are the unexpected, surprising ways that, that disrupt normal ways that we expect things to show up, particularly power?
Yes. And this is, a question that is really asked many times in scripture. Paul, to your point, that this idea of how power actually shows up in the text and through our relationship to the Savior, how power shows up, right? Whether it's Hannah, the handmaiden, whether it's David, who was seen as the ruddiest of the brothers, even the great Samson, they did not know what his source of power was because he wasn't big and strong, right? The great Samson who had the long flowing hair. The way we tell that story, it is as if they were looking at Arnold Schwarzenegger. Nope. Right? Esther was essentially an orphaned child, right? Didn't have any access to power. And yet salvation comes then again to Mary.
You know, I love that, you know, because I was thinking as you were kind of going down through that, those names, I was thinking about Moses, right? and Mary describes herself as he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. And yet what we have seen is God has always looked with favor on the lowliest, those who are, you know, the lowliness of his servants, right? And I really want us to kind of sit there for a second, because it's very opposite of where we think favor, how favor shows up, how God shows up.
Well, even how we're enculturated to be okay, to be strong, to look the part, to play the part, even, right, us as preachers, we're encouraged as pastors to be super confident, super capable. Like we're supposed to know the Bible like a concordance. So the intellectual strength, the physical strength, the commanding of the language, garbage.
Mm.
It's not how power shows up.
I mean, I think the fact that Jesus shows up as a through the birthing process and as a vulnerable child, I mean, that's a flip too. I mean, how do we think about God showing up in vulnerability rather than this massive thing that happens, right? That it's that intimate vulnerability that God chooses to embody himself in our world.
Yeah, never having delivered a child myself.
I don't think any of us have.
And neither have you. But, you know, that
I've only watched.
But that's not a pretty process, right? And just to kind of, I mean, that to me, just that whole sort of picture image of the birth, the actual birth, you know, that we have a God who came into the world that way, like we all did. And then I think, you know, what happens in the consistency of God to keep showing up in this way, throughout scripture, throughout the stories that, you know, we've named here, and God's identity, the way God looks, you know, as Mary begins to kind of sing here, is something that we shouldn't miss. And I think sometimes we miss it. I was just telling these guys that I get and this is not a judgment in case this is you out there. Not a judgment, but I think every year I get at least one or two Christmas cards that have the Magnificat on them, you know, different lines on from them. And I think it makes for a nice Christmas card, the sentiment, but it's very gritty, very like, you know, there's no mincing of words in what Mary's singing here about what the nature is of the child.
I think even earlier on in a conversation, Lena, I think you even talked about how Mary is speaking into, like, she's speaking Jesus's work in the world.
Yes. Yay, mom. Yeah.
In a world full of words today, right? Books upon books, blogs, everyone's talking, everyone's speaking, we're speaking. It's like, you know, in the midst of that, a multitude of words, these words are really rooted in ways that are not otherwise positioned. And let me see if I can be more specific, because Mary does some work with this, y'all. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is just not, some people, like, it shows up on cards, Pastor Lena. It's not, it's cute, but when you really look at it, it's not all that cute. It's gritty. Like, yeah. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation, right? So this idea that we're looking at, like, this individual salvation, Mary goes, no, this mercy is from generation to generation. The things we do impact those, the young people in our lives, right? The way we speak mercy upon our young people, as opposed to as our friend Sean Good would say, treat them as problems as opposed to possibilities. This is what Mary's talking about. That mercy is from generation to generation. It's just not for Tally.
Yeah.
But it's also for how I speak to my kids and the young people in my life and in my community.
Mm-hmm.
That's gritty.
And it reminds me how, my gosh, the sheer largesse of the work that Mary is about to take on, that she realizes it's beyond herself. And I think this is what you, Tali, you lift up this point that so much of our faith is, and the cuteness of our religion and our faith is related to how we interact with it. But she's realizing, although I'm an important part of this, this is beyond me. And I think she's realizing and expressing that in the Magnificat. Yeah. Your point, Tali.
I think about the other non-grittiness of this passage, right? He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. I mean, just in those three verses, it's so clear. It is it's very clear statements that mama is making here about her son, right? Mm. And I love that. I love the picture of her kind of being very focused. This is who you are. This is who you are. And then we see later, obviously, in Jesus' life, this is who he becomes, right? And I would argue that she had a primary role in his life of kind of speaking that over and over and over, you know, over in his life, you know, to where we've talked about this a lot. You know, Jesus picks this up in Luke 4 and says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and you know what, he has anointed me to bring good to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free. You know, I'm like, he didn't just, you know, get up and say that. That was spoken over him, sung over him for however 30 years.
Yeah, I think about the things that some of the young ladies and young men are hearing about themselves today in our culture, in our communities. And I'll never forget the, in fact, I recently posted about him on my Facebook page. When the young man I'm referring to, when we first met 20 years ago, the first thing he said was, "You talk to me differently than other people." Right. And I did not get that at the time, the magnitude of that. And what I'm seeing here, when I think about, Lena, what you said in terms of how Mary is setting up a narrative that would inform him of who he was, his identity. It was an identity shaping confession, right? An identity shaping him, if you will, a song that shaped his identity from his early years. I do think about this 19-year-old young man who was shaped by a narrative that I developed around our interaction that turned him from someone with federal warrants for his arrest into a full-time business owner just 20 years later. We hear stories like this, and I think it's too easy for us to dismiss those as just, well, you know, he had it within himself. What Mary says here is, I didn't have it within myself, right? But the Lord favored me, looked upon me, spoke to me these words, and these words are now what I'm shaping the identity of the Messiah with, right? If he's fully human, which we believe Jesus to be fully human, right? Jesus as a baby is hearing these words.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm thinking about do you believe that you have within you that you are part of how God's favor shows up in the lives of other people? I mean, do we believe that we walk around this earth and that we are a part of the way that other people will experience the favor of God, right? So that, you know, the young man that you were talking about, Tali, as you were speaking of him, I was thinking this was God's favor in his life, was a person who was going to speak to him differently. He'd never heard that before. And there's plenty of people in our lives, and maybe some of us as well, whose narratives have you know, we've been spoken a different kind of narrative and need a new narrative.
That's really good, because I think I'm just thinking about how I myself have looked at this passage and the role of Mary as passive participant in birthing Jesus, but that in fact she had agency and she chose to not only accept this, but also then to, as you both said, speak words into the shaping of this child. And she was not passive. In fact, she was powerful and prophetic in the work that she was doing as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And we best not forget that. And our role, and how do we see ourselves in that? That we are not passive participants in the work of God in our world, but that we actually have agency and we have to say yes, and then we have to birth out or speak into people the work of God.
I do think, I hear you, Pastor Lena. I hear you, Pastor Paul. We need to learn in our vulnerability, in our lowest state, and who we are, to speak the things of God that are in our lives as a confession of God's entrance into the world, of God's presence in the world.
That's right.
Without that, who's going to say it?
Mm.
Not because we're strong, but because we're favored in that way, right? God has favored, meaning God's presence is in our lives.
God's presence is in our lives. We talk about this a lot here, you know, but it's really like, do you believe it? And if you believe it, then, you know, what's next? Then what? Like, that's the to me, always the question. So what shall we do was a question that came up in the sermon. I think, Paul, was that your sermon?
Yeah.
What then shall we do? Now that we know this in terms of what we're talking about here, what do we do with the favor that we've been given? You know, I love this picture of each of you sitting, and, you know, the later on in chapter 2, there's a couple times, one of the themes of Luke also is this idea of pondering, right? And so later in chapter 2, it says a couple different times that Mary treasured these things in her heart. Mary pondered these things in her heart. Mary kept these things in her heart. And I don't think it's not this passive, you know, reflection. It's actually a wrestling and a struggling with what she knows about who she is and what she's been told. And I hope that we all kind of think about that. You know, will you take these words, ponder them in your hearts, ask God, you know, how do I share the favor that you've given to me? How do I speak encouraging words, not fluffy, you know, meaningless words, but really, like, you know, are there people in your life who need to know what you know?
And I will add only this to that, Pastor Lena. How many of us struggle to say how God's been present to us in ways that could help someone have hope for their situation, circumstance, become encouraged about who they are, right? Because this encourages Mary, right? To raise the Messiah, knowing, eventually realizing that one day she would stand at the foot of the cross. That the savior of the world was both her son and her Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wow. So I could go on and on. This is one of the sermons that could actually be an hour. Folks, we could really do this for an hour. But in closing our time together, Pastor Paul, Pastor Lena, what would you say is one thing that you hope folks take away from our in terms of either a question or a call to action, something that you would say is in this holiday season where we can be kind of distracted by everything, you know, What would be one rooting word?
I think what comes to mind is, again, this for me, this perception I had of Mary as passive participant. That's kind of the notion we put out there. That's the picture that we paint. But really that she had agency and that she had power and she had a sense of responsibility and that she did do the work of raising this Christ child. And I think for me, it's to, along the encouragement that has already been spoken by Tali and Lena, that I'm not a passive participant in the work of God. And so I have to do the work of understanding that, number one, but number two, to then figure out how do I then nurture God's work and nurture people in that work. And so I think the question for our congregation, if you would join me in asking ourselves that, would be those things.
That's perfect, Paul. I think that is definitely in the spirit of all the things that we've been talking about, our formation, right? This asking ourselves the question about what it means to be an active participant in the work of God. So, you know, I'll just amen what you said, and you know, and it's a good place to leave us in this season of expectation and leaning kind of forward and into, you know, what is God doing in this in the coming.
Well, we're excited about the next few weeks because the Christmas Eve service is mm-hmm. coming. As well as other announcements in the congregation. We want you to be aware, we want you to be connected, and we want to be together again, whether virtually or in person. We're learning how to do this together. So thanks again, family, and we're grateful for this opportunity to share the word with you. And if we don't get a chance to see you, Merry Christmas from all of us, all right?
Yep. Merry Christmas. Thanks.
God bless you.